Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here on the radio on Hawaii Island Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then we post these interviews as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today we air an interview with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim, which I recorded in his Hilo office last Thursday. It was also filmed by Dave Corrigan of Big Island Video News. So if you'd like to see the video portion, you may always go to BigIslandVideoNews.com. Let's get to my interview with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim. Good morning. Aloha, Mayor Kim.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for coming all the way to Hilo.
I always love coming to Hilo. I always have a great time here. Mayor Kim, first thing I want to talk about is the North Kona water situation. Mm. On Wednesday at 4:40 p.m., we got an emergency declaration. And I think most people know the North Kona water restriction has been going on for quite some time. In an interview with Keith Okamoto that I did for Island Issues several months ago, he mentioned that the first two wells went out last fall, so nearly a year ago. But, of course, they didn't know what the problem was, so they did not order parts. And then things got serious in January. You've now issued an emergency declaration. What are the implications of that emergency declaration?
Yeah, that was, you know, can be so misunderstood, so thank you. This past weekend, the emergency declaration was prepared in case we need state help and emergency funds. And the governor was told that we got all this prepared, so in event something does happen, we have to go to the next scale. We're getting things all ready, so he would know. You know, things like the National Guard assistance for emergency transportation or whatever, you know, pumps or whatever. But anyway, this past weekend, it was brought to my attention that the lack of irrigation on the Kona fields is diminishing return. Very shortly, the grass will be dead, and even if we irrigate, it won't come back. So that's when you have to make a decision now, you know, do we have to try to save it because of diminishing return on trying to get it all back? And we did not want to irrigate. So what I had to do was call in Public Works for assistance in regards to using our pumper, a cannon as we call it, that, you know, sprays the water out. They would be able to irrigate. Can the field take the weight of the truck and all those kind of things? So the decision was made, okay, we should try to save the field.
And you're talking about maybe Old Airport Park?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so where to get water from without tapping a restricted area, water department was called. So the decision was made, okay, 3-day holiday, let's start on Saturday. Well, that's when you need money and resources outside of the water. As long as you get out of the water department financing, yeah, we don't have the money. It's just a semi-autonomous group. So this is why a declaration was made at this time, because for the first time, I'm using outside resources that cost money.
And that means the county budget is actually now being used to
emergency funds.
This.
We have emergency funds set aside for those things, and that's why I did it. So legally, I can tap that funds.
It has felt to many folks in North Kona like there is no sense of urgency about the water situation, because clearly if it's been going on for a year and nobody knows why the pumps are going out, why when the new pumps arrive, they appear many times to be broken. We understand that one of the sets of equipment actually fell into the well, and that obviously was just an accident. But what can be done to get more of a sense of urgency to literally call in outside experts? There's got to be somebody who can help guide our water department in actually getting a solution to the problem so we can get done with it.
You know, I've been in the emergency line a long time. I've worked with water department, as I told them. The worst experience I had was not because of mechanical, because of nature's way of drought. And boy, that was bad. And those days, the water system was not like today as far as number of wells. And the area most affected, I remember, was South Kohala, the farmers there. I can tell your viewers, truthfully, there is nothing I did not review with them and others to see what else can be done, to what else can we prepare for, and what else can we mitigate for future prevention. And I have a total confidence that the review was good, and what is being done in regards to by the water department And you were there, obviously, during the community meeting. And I made a crack that I hope you feel better. And I know it was not an appropriate crack to some, paying your water bill, because I thought they did a good job explaining what they did and what we're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And I still feel the same. We have a situation here that all those kind of mechanical things, I cannot explain it. I tell people this way, Sherry, the best explanation I have, that you bought 10 cars, brand new, everyone is supposed to function, and for no reason, five of them don't even start. Will that happen? You hope not, but obviously it possibly can. And that's the only way I can explain. I've been in this business over 40 years. I've never seen anything like this of new pumps or a cable breaking when they're hauling the pump out. And this is not water department people. These are the professionals you hire. It does happen. Now, as far as the mitigation on civil defense side, which is the mayor's office in charge of civil defense, I cannot think of anything more that we have not discussed in regards to try to make it easier for people as far as water announcements. Even that is coordinated. I don't know how many weekends we've met, because that's when we have time to meet. I'm not trying to pacify the situation. I'm telling you what it is. If there is anything that we have not done that I think we should do, point it out and I'll review it.
Well, I think that people are just getting a bit frustrated. And as you point out, you wanted to make sure you could water the old airport fields. But there's a lot of people who have landscaping and they're in the same situation, because people really are doing what they can. I mean, Keith Okamoto has said that the water usage is not excessive, but particularly when we have Ironman coming and we know there's going to be thousands of people who tend to use way more water just because they're doing athletic events all the time. And no resentment against Ironman. It's a great thing for our community, but people want to be able to get back where they can water their own yards. The Water Board is going to have an emergency meeting on September 13th, 10 o'clock at West Hawaii Civic Center. Clearly, everybody in the community who's affected by this wants to feel like there is a sense of urgency, that after a year of this, we want to get on with the solution. So thank you for the declaration, and hopefully that will lead people who I know are already working really hard to be able to call in the kind of experts to get a solution.
On that comment about the people's irrigation, we talked about that. How would it feel to people to see us irrigating a ballpark and they cannot build? So we have to make sure we explain that this is water from outside of the area, et cetera, not and being brought in by county public works. But I'll tell you this, we are so happy. If you go to civil defense office, you'll see a chart thing identifying the water levels of each pump. So it's monitored to the critical level of daily monitoring. And we are so happy, and maybe I shouldn't use that word. I don't want to say satisfied, but we are happy and so pleased with the community response to the conservation, because we have not approached near the critical level for only one reason, because people are conserving. We are so pleased with the Kona people. There's times where we literally had to send people out to say, you know, you need to do this. Literally, people had to be threatened that their meter was going to be shut off.
So the emergency declaration allows the water department to actually issue a monetary ticket or to shut people's water off?
Shut them off.
How about to issue the monetary ticket?
I'm not sure about that.
Not sure about that, but they can shut people's water off?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Switching topics to Mary Monarch. A few weeks ago, you issued a press release saying that you were no longer going to allow halau for Mary Monarch to stay in county gyms. Many halau have stayed in county gyms over the past, I'd say, 20 years. They have paid rent. They have done fix-up projects. They've slept there. They've had somebody on fire watch. They've used the gyms to practice. You've now said that will no longer be allowed. Tell us what the rationale is, including why you chose not to speak with the folks at Mary Monarch in advance to see if a solution could be found.
It's almost like I paid you to ask the right questions. We just had a meeting this morning on that. You know, are you going to respond? I said, no, because we already talked to the people that are affected for, you know, past year now. As you know, I came into office December, Mary Monarch coming up.
Yeah, because Mary Monarch is always the week of Easter.
It was pointed out to me in regards to the fire department's findings of these four halaus of where to stay. Just to clarify, we're not talking about the whole group of halaus. There's 23 halaus and 19 of them have lodging that they take care of. The fire chief came in, gave us a report that no, that this does not meet the fire code. It places should not be slept overnight. It was kind of late in the period, I can't remember when it was, probably February or so, to announce that at that time. We were in communication with Mary Monarch, Luana, and others, you know, what the situation was. It's also written, some of it. What, if there's anything that can be done at this late period? We understand it's a late period. Very easily could have told the chief, continue, you know. Well, I know what we're asking. We're asking them to disregard the report. And I'm never going to do that in regards to this kind of safety element. And so it was simply, what could we suggest to the fire chief and the fire department that possibly could, I hate the word satisfy, but that was it, satisfy this concern for now as we look towards next year. But for now, is there anything we could do? So we worked with them and communicated with the Mamaroneck people that this is what was suggested, a fire watch throughout the night, documentation, this and that. That was even the micro type of management suggestion. You know, that's hard for parents throughout the night, so I made a crack. Yeah, be like the Army. And I was on watch. Every 2 hours you change shift, right? You have enough parents, et cetera, et cetera. Even that kind of involvement or the suggestion to mitigate the requirement of a fire watch, which was not all-encompassing meeting fire department needs, but approved that this will for now be okay with it, but it is not satisfactory as far as resolving the issue. And there was agreed with Marimana, because also with that, not to belabor that, but cost factor was because it was a misunderstanding, hire fire watch people. That means private security. Well, that's big money. But that wasn't what we meant. We meant establish one. And that's why this kind of volunteer 2 hours was done. And so that took care of the first year. I can elaborate on that, the communication, but I am addressing that no communication with them. Now comes this year, but at that time it was understood we got to look at the future, because this kind of thing, as if you can talk to the fire chief, is only to mitigate for that year, not totally satisfactory for safety reasons. Now come this year. And the decision, we need to do this for safety and everything else. Along with that, the discussion of our responsibilities, number one, do it fast so they have time to plan. Provide alternatives of looking elsewhere. What else is there? Look at the not only county stuff, because, you know, we have state, but most of our schools, and naturally you can't ask the schools to abort their program for the Mamaroneck with school kids and this and that. We even talked about, is there any National Guard facilities we can look? We did look at what's there so we can present it to them. Parks and Recreation Charmaine says, by then we will be finished with all of the Mauna Kea thing, you know? And I said, initially, boy, that's, then I thought, Oahu people, 45-minute drive? Then we talked about, okay, what else can we make it, you know, to say this is a very good alternative. It has a licensed, certified kitchen, bedding, the whole works, brand new. Nice roadway up there now. We will see, we can assist in transportation. We will see they will need practice places, storage places. All of that is communicated. So I'm saying, yes, the criticism and concerns by people are valid, but we are addressing them.
And when you speak of Mauna Kea, you're speaking of Mauna Kea Park, right at the top of Saddle Road.
I haven't gone in yet, except for the kitchen area.
Well, yeah, because they haven't finished construction on the cabin portion, right?
And it will be all finished, but if they choose that, we will assure you that we will follow through on our commitment of transportation as well as storage spaces and practice places.
I understand that Paipaiko and maybe Keokaha gyms actually do have fire sprinklers. Would those then not be acceptable as places for the halau to stay?
Because of usage, that is not acceptable. First of all, Keokaha gym, you know, yes, it's a county park, but it's the Hawaiian Homes, and it does technically belong to them. And we don't want to displace people because it's heavy usage. And naturally, that was discussed.
If you have these concerns about the halau staying there because of fire safety, et cetera, should the community have any concerns about when we do have a hurricane evacuation or tsunami evacuation and people are directed to the gyms, should people be concerned about their own safety or the kids who play there on a daily basis?
Well, for kids who play there on a daily basis, let's look at these places. They're all single wall wood and on stilts, so to speak. The greatest fire hazard threat there is of anything of air circulation, not cement floor. That's one of the factors fire department looks at. And these are not good places. This is places because they're available close to town and all of that. Should people be concerned on that for shelters? Absolutely. You know, if we keep them there to sleep. These are overnight kind of thing. For playing, that's a responsibility of ours to make sure that they watch out for fire hazards, etc. And it's always easier to evacuate people when they're playing rather than when they're sleeping or whatever. They don't prepare food and things like that or cook nearby, whatever. Yes, all those things, but number one, none of these places is going to be hurricane shelters because it's single wall wood. And the only type of shelter you possibly maybe identified with would be possibly tsunami because you're just out of the area.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here Sundays, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. And you may hear this and other Island Issues interviews online, lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. The same day I talked with Harry Kim, which was last Thursday, I also talked with Luana Cavello of Mary Monarch, and she told me the Mauna Kea Recreation Area is just not going to work for Halau to stay. They practice on a daily basis. It's an hour's drive between Mauna Kea Recreation Area and Hilo Town, and it's pretty cold up there and awfully dark for folks who are not familiar with this island, but she is actively working to find acceptable lodging for the four Halau who need it. Next Sunday morning, we're going to talk with John D. Dawson, an artist who has an Ohia exhibit at Volcano Arts Center. And then on September 24th, we resume our conversations about hospitals with North Hawaii Community Hospital. I recorded this interview with Harry Kim, along with Dave Corrigan of Big Island Video News, and so you may see less edited segments of the interview at BigIslandVideoNews.com. Let's get back to Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim. Completely different topic, and that is one of your goals since taking office has been to address the homeless situation we have on Hawaii Island. One of your first moves was to move homeless folks out of Old Kona Airport. We've done reports already on what I'm calling Camp Kikaha, the tent city that is by the Friendly Place in Kona, which is currently housing around 30 folks. And it's a good short-term solution. But what at this time are you thinking about for longer-term solutions for homeless on this island for not just Kona, but for Hilo? Because we do have a fairly large population of homeless folks, not as bad as Oahu, even though statistically they say we're the same. We have a lot of folks who don't have homes. So give us your current thinking on that, because that's of concern to everybody.
We are worse than Oahu, if you go by per capita. Not only in numbers game, but who they are, families. One of the first things I want to know is, what are the latest stats on children? Not that adults are not high priority, but children got to be, you know, more as far as concerned. I call it DOE because they have a person who's in charge of homeless type of problems. And he said, Hilo, and these are conservative numbers, the latest count is 106 children. Maybe those who are keeping up weren't surprised, but that really hit. I said, 106? East side alone, children? Hawaii also ranks as the highest per capita of families that are homeless.
Here on Hawaii Island?
Yeah, Hawaii Island.
Parents with children?
Yeah, but also singles with children. That was one of the problems of you wonder why. Well, because the mothers, it is the mothers taking care of the children. The guys aren't there, you know, failure of their responsibilities as far as I'm concerned. They know they're going to lose custody of the child if they bring it to social services and say, I cannot take care of my children. But it's a very complex problem. The reason we picked Kona was not because it's simple, but because I needed a template. I know there was no program. I can make a program overnight and get them out of there and get out. You can't come back. I'm going to clean it out. That's not a program.
Well, no, it's not. And that's what's been done on Oahu.
Right now, I am so happy that Governor Ige sent his people over there because I need a good place. And he sent two or three of his staff to talk to me what was available.
Meaning state lands that could be available to use as a longer term?
A permanent term.
For people who are currently homeless?
And the program will not include long-term housing. That's a state responsibility. That's what they're doing at Ane Keohokolole, right, that new subdivision.
Meaning the affordable housing off Ane Keohokolole villages at Kamakana, I think is what it's called.
Good for you, because I forgot that is. And working with them on that, Stanford Carr is going to take over the contract, and he's a great guy for that. But they also offered us some properties near the Civic Center for the Kona area, 30 acres. And it's ideal because they need to be near jobs and schools and things like that, because we have families involved in them. And that's being ironed out now, and we'll work out in getting that land and making a program on that piece of property so that temporary camp, as we call it, will be shifted there, as well as other things.
Is your vision that the permanent place would have actual structures of some kind? Because right now the folks at the Tent City are living under tarps, and it's working out pretty well, remarkably. I've talked with Linda Vandervoort, who's now the county coordinator for that.
She's a winner.
She is a winner. You know, I was really impressed.
And
with
Lance is a winner.
Oh, and Lance Naimi, what can I say? The county employee who spends the night at the homeless camp, you know, he's impressed a lot of people with that. But is your vision for the long term that there would be actual structures so it wouldn't be so camping-like, or what's your thinking?
I'll consider it partial failure if I have to go back to camping. This is a program. I don't want to be semantic about it, but it is important. This is a total program to make this work, including servicing those with emotional problems. We've had, I think you may know, Sherry, that I think at least 7, 8, maybe 9 people that had to be told, you need to leave. We're going to have some strong rules to make this work, and we will do it.
Well, that's what Linda Vandervoort told me in a story that I did for Hawaii Public Radio, that she did have to ask people to leave if they could not follow rules, or people who had such severe drug addictions that they were trying to bring that with them into the camp. But one of the models that I've talked with Lance Naimi about is on Oahu, Dwayne Carizu, local boy who's now on Oahu.
I claim him because he's from this island.
Exactly. He's set up at, I believe it's at Sand Island. He's putting in housing, and it's going to include child care for folks who want to get jobs, and it's really an all-encompassing program. It's good to think that we can do something along those lines if it can be worked out.
And we will.
Good. The other thing, you know, we're talking now about, for example, starting with the 68 people who were living inside Old Airport, but one of the police officers with whom I was speaking said the people who really make his heart bleed are the families who are living in their vehicles at Kmart or Walmart in the parking lots. I mean, they have families, they have jobs, but they just cannot afford housing. So I'm hoping this can be made a large enough place to accommodate those folks who are already productive members of society, but just not able to afford an apartment or a house or whatever.
These are the things we're trying to communicate with the community. This isn't the government's job only. This is a community's problem. Likewise, when I talk to the homeless, I say the same thing. I know my responsibility. We're going to do everything we can to help you. But you have your responsibility also. But we also know that we have to reach out and establish programs for mental health and family kind of things. So all the things you mentioned, yes, is part of this program. And yes, we found out about Kurisu. So yes, we sent Lance there, right? We're trying to learn because we know we don't have the answers. But there are people, I'm so elated that, like Kurisu offering to help, like Stanford Carr helping, you know, like the governor helping out, like even the private people like Kennedy Wilson, you know, that people out there, this is our community too, let us know. Like HPM, Mike Fujimoto, come in here and say, hey, I'm willing to help. So we're going to grab it. I know people are impatient with me because I've had to postpone, and you know, it's still like, when are you going to start Hilo? Not to maybe next year. I need that time to learn from Kona.
I know that people in Kona who are actively involved at Old Airport Park are appreciative that now it is turned back into a place where more families are able to enjoy, and that's a good thing. But you're right, it takes time. I mean, what Linda Vandervoort told me they're learning from this Camp Kikaha, it's valuable. But you know, Harry, right now you know it's hard for people to afford housing because it's either not available or it's super expensive. Today, our island population's around 200,000. By 2040, the state is saying that we on this island may have as many is 300,000 people. The actual number is 296,400, but that's pretty close to 300,000. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, where are all these folks going to live? It's sort of a philosophical look at what we need to think about relative to our island and future quality of life.
The mayor is responsible for planning and those things and working with the state and the federal government. The year 2040, 300,000.
That's only 23 years away, you know.
I think we may even surpass that. Because what that didn't anticipate is what is happening to the rest of the state. Right now, Maui, Kauai, and Oahu, the entire middle class of this state in buying a home on those islands are out of reach. I cannot imagine what it's like to be a family person, a young person growing up and say, the American dream is not within my reach anymore. I have to look at condos or whatever, apartments. This is my lifestyle. There's only one place in the state of Hawaii that I will be able to afford a home. And that's why I'm saying that numbers might be an estimation what may be. It is our responsibility to anticipate that. This is why we're talking to, went to Kona, I was a speaker for the Kona Wana High School in Tantoya, and talking to the workers there, and these two guys telling me they're from Hawaiian Ocean View Estates. And I go, whoa, you know, when did you move there? I said, we couldn't afford rent in Kona. So Ocean View was the closest, you know. And I said, there's no water there, though. I said, yeah. I asked them, how long does it take you to drive? This is to Kona Waina. It's an hour, hour and a half, depends how early you start. You know that from South Point North, there's no water. We dug a well when I was here last for Ocean View. All we get is 100,000 gallons a day, not good water. So there's no point in digging for water there. So asking the water department, can you at least begin the research to see what will it cost to make a pipeline from where there is water to it? And so they're looking at that. So it is our responsibility to start planning. It is our responsibility to start talking to DOE and State Highway, or that narrow road of Highway 11, can it be improved? Because it is a state highway. And obviously the zoning. You know what I admire, but I know this is not the question. The next time you go to Hove, there's a town growing where there's no water. There's a Malama Market there, you know, people who don't know it. And people are moving there. Right now, I tell people, people my age and younger, grew up in a time where Kau was Pahala. That's where your school is there, your hospital is there. The guy who come in the last 10 years, this makes no sense. The population, you mean to say Hove and the Ale people got to drive all the way to Pahala to go to school? Most of the people live here. And more than 3/4 of the people live on that side. Now, why should all this? Well, that's when it was built. We have to start planning better. And that's why I say it's our job. Because the 300,000 will happen.
One of the issues about housing, of course, is just the simple fact that sometimes people have converted property that they might have rented out on a long-term basis to vacation rentals because they can obviously make a whole lot more money doing that. And I don't think you can stop people from using their property in the way they want, but I just think we have not as much housing available right now as we used to.
Those are the things we knew we had to address. The county government of Hawaii had no policies in regards to short-term rentals. This was identified before we got inaugurated. You know, we identified problems we got to put as priority. And naturally, you wish you had the staff to say, okay, full-time, this is what you do. And this is one of the budgetary requests that we made for this present year. I'm hoping within a month, 2 months on the outside, a completed ordinance proposal will be introduced by a couple of council people that will address this. We need to address this, not just for the reason you stated, but because of being fair sharers for taxes. If you're not paying it, you should. You're making a business out of this. And we should, besides that, have rules on the governance of this because of your words of lifestyle. All of these things affect lifestyles. And I'm hoping within 2 months, the complete ordinance will be presented on what the plan is, how to address this.
You mentioned taxes. In the recent, let me just say, contentious legislative session that was held to determine how rail in Honolulu was going to be funded, the decision was made that they will now allow each county, if they wish, to add on another 0.5% general excise tax. And I'm wondering what your inclination is at this time about adding a 0.5% GE tax for Hawaii County, funds of which, as I understand, would have to be allocated to transportation, roads, things of that nature.
After you decided to ruin my day by bringing that up.
Oh, I think it was the legislature that ruined your day on that one.
They know. The governor knows. Everybody knows. The three mayors know what my position has been. You don't want to say this openly, but I said it openly, that from the very beginning, you look at your budget. Every cabinet member will tell you, first week of work, they tell them, this is your job. Know your budget inside and out, because now immediately you got to plan for the next budget year, and we got to know what to cut, where we got to raise money, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in looking at this, I told Oahu mayors recently, don't compare Big Island with yours in making policies. I told them, you know, I had to make a very politically unpopular statement to all unions, because we're in collective bargaining of all the unions. It's unfortunate timing again, that this administration will not support any proposed raise. Any proposed raise, all unions. You know how popular that is. Negotiations didn't even start, and you say zero. And that's what I said, zero. And at that time, without all the data, I said, how am I going to raise taxes to pay for raises when they can't even pay their bills? You know? This is who we have, and I would tell them, these are my figures. Kau, over 90% of the children qualify for free lunch. What do you qualify for free lunch? Because you're low income.
And that's not just true in Kau.
Puna, the biggest district on the island of Hawaii by population, the fastest growing district in the state of Hawaii, over 70% qualify. 70% of the families are poverty, right? Trying to tell his mayors how different we are. And said, you want me to raise taxes on these guys? You do it only as a last alternative. So a first alternative, no raises. In regards to this one here, I told him all of it, the inequity. And Mayor Carwell, he's a friend, but that doesn't mean you don't disagree with friends. He irked me when he said on the media to the legislatures, if you don't do this, I have to raise property taxes. And I went, duh, what the hell do you think I had to do? That's the kind of thinking you want to scream at, In regards to this tax, this is the most unfair thing of government taxation that I've ever experienced. I know the history of the TAT. The TAT was formed by the state legislatures for one reason, to help the neighbor islands pay for costs incurred because of the tourist industry. They said 95% should go to the counties to pay for that, 5% to the state for administrative costs.
And that was, the TAT is the Transient Accommodation Tax. It's a tax on any temporary lodging, hotels or B&Bs or whatever it happens to be.
As soon as the money started coming in, why don't we pay for this? Why don't we pay for that? Even as not, I shouldn't say nonsense, but to me, priority it is, rather than raise taxes for people, $40 million to pay for a piece of property in Oahu or Turtle Bay. That's not the intent of that tax. Pay for the tourism authority off the top. All that kind of things that I don't think the general public know. And then some wise people in the state legislature said, hey, we should review this. This was 2014 now. We should review this to make an allocation system so the counties don't have to fight for money all the year. They got people in this working group, as I'll call it, of legislatures, of community and county. What did they come up with in the year 2014? 45% of the balance of the top they take for something else go to the three counties. Legislature, their study, rejected it. So what happens? You go right back to, you had enough coverage of Mayor Kino, how much time he spent trying to lobby with the rest of the mayors. All failure because the state legislature, this was their cash cow. Because they don't want to raise their damn taxes. You ever hear them say, we're short of funds, just like Hawaii County is. We're forcing them to raise property tax. You ever hear them say, we should consider our taxes, excise tax, our taxes, in regards to fuel, our taxes, in regards to income tax? No. So what they're looking at, TAT as one of the ways, right?
Right, and that will now apply. It'll be an additional 1%, I think it is, on all temporary lodging on all the counties.
Let me put a real hammer on why I get so angry, disappointed in us that governs this. I think they have misled people to think that the neighbor islands do not pay much. Why should they expect much? We pay 50% and a little over of the total. People don't know that because they don't publicize that. What they don't know and don't publicize in this thing they passed, besides a 1% increase, is a horrendous element of saying, it was in a paper that we're going to get a $2 million increase for Hawaii County. You know, like, rah, rah, that makes the headlines. Hey, what is Harry grumbling about? He's getting $2 million more. What they don't read is that this Act 4 said this $103 million to be shared with the three counties is in perpetuity. At the same time, in their projection, they say next year we expect to collect $500 million. Well, all of a sudden, from 95 to 45% to right now about 22%, it will be below 20%. In short, that in perpetuity condemned us to less and less. And that's what ticked me off.
Well, for good reason.
Excuse the temper.
Yeah, that's okay. You can have temper. But back to the question, part of this was they said the counties, I guess this was in a way to appease the counties, that the counties could, in fact, add their own 0.5% GE tax increase, which counties were given the opportunity to do 2 years ago, and the county council rejected. Thoughts about that at this point?
This shows you their thinking. You can raise your tax. I just got through telling them our people are struggling with what we have now. Excise tax is the worst regressive tax there is. I'm going to tax those people more so that is having a hard time. If I needed help to pay for my highways, what did I do? I raised a fuel tax. That's our job. Sure, I could use help there, but I don't need the help there in criticalness. It's of the other places that I need the help. I don't need them to tell me how to raise money to pay for highways. I could have floated a bond for that if I needed that. I just raised it, and I know it's not very popular, but that's what you do when you got to fix your highways. We should have been raising it progressively along, and I thank the council for coming forth and supporting it. After they had to raise the property tax. It's not a popular thing to do, but they did it. And to have the state legislature saying, well, you want more money, raise the excise tax, but pay for transportation only with that. I don't need them to tell me how to spend my money. How's that for getting angry?
Okay, so I guess this will be before the county council when it comes to be budget time, the GE tax increase.
It's going to be before the council. I've made my position clear a long time ago.
Helicopter tours to the lava. People in Hilo and Puna have been complaining. I know you've been working on a solution. Is there a solution yet?
I was approached by members of the community, and I told them I'll follow up on it. I just wrote them a letter also, update, and I told them this is what I normally do in problems. You know, I have to get all sides listened to and try to have the sides work together. I don't like that of authority one way of forcing things. So I did call the helicopter companies in, and I was very, very pleased, I had the truth. It was a simple letter, you know, of invitation. Can we start to review this problem? They all came. And I told them what the problem was. And just to let them know that who I am, I told them, you know, how I spend my time, precious time, I love quiet. I love the peace of quiet and to hear nature's ways of birds and the wind. And I play a little game with myself in the morning. What are the first sounds I hear? And I love to hear the first birds coming out and that kind of personal kind of stuff. Because I wanted them to know this was a special thing, quiet. When you're up there in the air, you kind of forget that, you know? And I tell them what I'm asking you as an organization, thanking them for being here. You know the problem. I don't have to disguise what the problem is. Can you get together and come up with a proposal how to address it? And that's what they're doing now. They were talking about a self-monitoring type situation, you know, routes and this and that. And they'll come back to me. They said they'll make it an organizational thing of all of them. And hopefully they'll be back within a couple of weeks at the most to discuss that. And my thing was to review with them and then introduce that to the community. And hopefully get together. But that's where we are now.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add before we say aloha?
Yeah. Day before yesterday, My meeting was at 7:30 in the morning, and it was with 8 or 9 medical doctors addressing this problem of doctor shortage. I think we as a community should look at some of the bright spots. These are doctors, their own time, asking for a meeting to address this that we've been doing for a long time. You only have this kind of thing in a small community that people care about the community. Just like the homeless you're talking about. I'm the envy of the other islands when I tell them who participated in the cleanup. They go, whoa, how do you do that? Living on the island of Hawaii is how we do it. So thank you for the interview.
Thank you so much, Mayor Harry Kim. Aloha.
Aloha to you.
And aloha and a big mahalo to you, our listeners. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. I'll see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.